Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah here. We're holding a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Dalet and Mirtz Hashem today. We will be learning Daf Reish Ayin Tes Amid Aleph. We pick up today on the bottom of Reish Ayin Ches Amid Beis with a new Simon Tuf Yud Dalet, Shaloi La'arev Ela L'daitoi. The idea that you cannot make an Eruvei Tumin for somebody else without his knowledge and perhaps agreement. We are continuing to learn the halachas of Eruvei Tumin. I just noticed the other day that we only have a few more pages left to the conclusion of the halachas of Eruvei Tumin, and when we finish learning the halachas of Eruvei Tumin, we will have concluded our halachas of Hilchos Shabbos. What an incredible milestone for those of us who have been doing this since the beginning of Chelek Gimel. And I'd like to thank my listeners, those of you who have been listening to me since the beginning of Chelek Gimel. What an unbelievable journey to work our way all the way through Hilchos Shabbos, Chelek Gimel, the vast majority of Chelek Dalet. What a fascinating journey it has been. Our learning today should be a schus for Achinu Kabeis Yisrael, Hanesudim Batzara Ubashivya, Ha'imdim Bein Bayam Ubein Bayabasha, Hamakim Yerachim Aleihem, V'yaitzieh Mitzara Lervacha Me'afela La'iru Mishibur L'Geula, Hashta Bagalo B'zman Kariv V'nemar Amein. Our learning should be a schus for Fuah Shalema, for Achia Gagal, Moshevair Ben Esther Fradel, Yitzhak Ben Sien Ben Dusha, Rivka Bashir Alea, Chava Hadassa Basrael Serel, Yeshua Levi Ben Ahuva Malka Chana, Trani Bas Batsheva, and Yeruchim Ben Masha. They should all have Refuah Shalema B'Sai Shara Chayil Yisrael. I would like to just mention quickly that Rabbi Yeruchim Ben Masha is an Adam Chashuv Ma'od, an Adam Gadol, who has done a tremendous amount for other people and for Klal Yisrael, and he's in need of Rachamei Shamayim. And please, together with the other Chaylev and the other Chaylev of Yisrael, if you could have Yeruchim Ben Masha in mind for Refuah Shalema B'Sai Shara Chayil Yisrael, and I should just mention that today's shiur will be audio only. So again, going to the bottom line of Reish Ayin Ches Amid Beis, a new Simon Tuf Yud Dalet Shaloi La'arev Ela L'daitoi. You cannot make an Eruvei Tumin for somebody else, only with his knowledge, Ubay Beis Se'ifim. And here we have two Se'ifim, says the Mechaber, Sif Aleph. Ein Ma'arvin Eruvei Tumin La'adam Ela L'daitoi. You cannot establish an Eruvei Tumin on behalf of somebody else, unless you have his knowledge and agreement. Why is that? Shema eino roitza la'arev ba'oisa ruach sharotza zeh. Because it is definitely possible that the person you're making an Eruvei Tumin for is not interested in making an Eruvei Tumin in the direction that you're making one for him. You decided to go place an Eruvei Tumin for him 2,000 amas to the east. Very nice. By making an Eruvei Tumin for him 2,000 amas to the east, you're extending his tchum 2,000 amas to the east. But as we know already by now, you're also shortening his tchum to the west. Like this, he had 2,000 amas to the east. He also had 2,000 amas to the west. By establishing an Eruvei Tumin and shifting his makom shvisa 2,000 amas to the east, now he has alpayim amas l'chol ruach from that new makom shvisa. Indeed, that will extend his reach a further 2,000 amas to the east, but it's going to wipe out the 2,000 amas that he had from his original makom shvisa going to the west, and it's possible he's not interested in that. And because he might not be interested in that, this is not a case of zachid la'adam shaloi b'fanav. This is not a case where you have the power to do something for somebody else without his knowledge, because it's considered a schus, because you're doing something that clearly benefits him. It's possible that you're not benefiting him. It's possible that for him this is a chayiv. And while it's true that zachid la'adam shaloi b'fanav, ein chavin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. You cannot do something on behalf of somebody else without his knowledge if it's possibly a chayiv, if it's possibly something that he's not happy with. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Katan Aleph, Ba'is HaRuach, he's not interested in making an Eruvei Tumin in the direction that you're setting one up. Why? Because he's not interested in being compromised and losing the 2,000 amas that he had until now in the other direction from his house. We already had this concept earlier in Simon Tav Ches. Says the Mechaber Viter, top of Reish Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. So we have established that you can't make an Eruvei Tumin for somebody else without his das. However, that's not a flat rule. There are exceptions. chutz mibnoi ubitoi hakitanim. This, the exception to this would be your son, your sons, your daughters, so your children that are minor children. You can make an eruvei tchumin on their behalf without their das. And this is true, says the Mechaber, afilu einam smuchen al shulchanoi. This is true if you're not, even if you're not supporting these children. If these children somehow have a source of support, financial support, on their own, still, you could go ahead and you can make an eruvei tchumin on their behalf without their das. Let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. It says the Mishnah Berurah is cut and base. Afilo einam smuchin, even if they're not dependent upon you. Vatam, the reason why you can make an eruvei tchumin for b'nai b'tai ketanim, even without their das, is the hakayim alod de'ein ma'arvin elul dvar mitzvah. We've already discussed, and we're going to learn it in the next siman. We've already discussed the fact that you're only allowed to make an eruvei tchumin lechatchila for the purposes of a mitzvah. So you could set up an eruvei tchumin to extend your tchum so that you should be able to go to a daf yomi shir. You could extend your tchum with an eruvei tchumin so that you should be able to go to the hospital and mimavaka choyla. But there has to be some mitzvah-related purpose in setting up an eruvei tchumin. So now, you're going to set up an eruvei tchumin on behalf of your minor children. Now, in order to do this, it must be rooted in a dvar mitzvah. Now, if you're trying to facilitate a dvar mitzvah for b'nai ubitai haktanim, well, that's a chi of chinuch that you have. So explains the Mishnah Berurah v'atam, the reason why you can set up an eruvei tchumin on behalf of b'nai ubitai haktanim even without their das, the reason is the hakai b'lo de'ein ma'orvin elo l'dvar mitzvah. We know that you could only establish an eruvei tchumin to facilitate a mitzvah. V'al kein, therefore, ma'ariv tamen aleim. You could always make an eruvei tchumin for b'nai ubitai haktanim because you're doing it for a mitzvah purpose and you have a chiyuv of chinuch to be mechalich them in mitzvahs. So that chiyuv of chinuch that you have also empowers you to make the eruvei tchumin to facilitate the fulfillment of the mitzvah that you're being mechalich them in. And the Mishnah Berurah concludes, and he says, you know, the Chafetz Chaim never lets anything slip. So the Chafetz Chaim puts in over here, when we're saying that you could make an eruvei tchumin on behalf of your minor children, what does it mean that you're doing it without their das? Remember, if you're setting up an eruvei tchumin for them, you need to set up mazon shtei seudos. They need their own independent eruv. So if you're setting up an eruvei tchumin for you and for your 10-year-old son to be able to go to a shir together Shabbos afternoon, you're not setting up one eruvei tchumin, you're setting up two eruvei tchumin. You need mazon shtei seudos for yourself. You also need mazon shtei seudos for your 10-year-old child. Now, if you're doing it without his knowledge, that means he has nothing to do with this, right? So who does the mazon shtei seudos belong to? It's not his, and he's not setting it up. You're doing it. Well, in order to do that, you have to be mezaka him in the food. You have to, so to speak, give the food to him. How do you do that without his knowledge? Oh, you have another person. You hand off the food to another person, and you say, do me a favor, be mezake in this food for the eruvei tchumin for my 10-year-old son. That person takes it, makes a kinyan in it, and he's zoiche in it for the 10-year-old son. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out over here. Continues the Mechaber. So, you can't set up an eruvei tchumin for somebody else without his das, but you can set up an eruvei tchumin for b'noi ubitai haktanim without their das, continues the Mechaber. Another exception to the rule. Va'avdoi v'shivchasai haktanim. If you have an Eved Kenani, or you have a Shivcha Kenanis, you're allowed to set up an eruvei tchumin for them as well. Remember, an Eved Kenani, Shivcha Kenanis, they are mechui v'mitzvahs ki'isha. They have the same mitzvah obligations that a woman does. They definitely are encumbered, so to speak, by Hilcha Shabbos. So if you want them to be able to go out of their tchum, they also need an eruvei tchumin. So you could set up an eruvei tchumin for avdei b'shevchasai haknanim even without their knowledge. Explains to Mishnah Berurah nice cut and gimel how come that works. Haknanim mipnei sheyadon ki yadai, because they don't have a yad. They don't have their own power. They don't have their own authority. They are completely subservient and subjugated to you. So you could set up an Eruvit Chumin for yourself. You could set up an Eruvit Chumin for them. Continues the Mechaber. And the Mechaber says, Vafilu michubai shaloi la'arevalov. Even these people, the Benoi, Bita Akhtanim, David Knani, the Shivcha Knanis, even if they protest and they say, no, we're not happy with your Erev. We want to be able to go to the park, to the west of the city. How come you're making an Erev to the east to drag us to a shir? We're not happy with the Erev that you're making. Even if they protest, it doesn't matter. Their protest doesn't hold any clout. Va'afilu Erevu heim Erev acher. Even if they turn around and they say, really? You're making it a Eruvit Chumin for us to the east of the city? Well, guess what? We're going before Ben Hashmashas, and we're making it a Eruvit Chumin for ourselves to the west of the city. Doesn't matter. Einoi klum. There's no validity to their actions. If you take a look here at the Bi'ur Halacha Dibur HaMaschil, Einoi klum. The Chofetz Chaim says, Ritzayin Olamar, what does the Bechari mean when he says, Einoi klum? She'eruvei ma'she'en yach b'shvilam, the Eruv that you set up on their behalf, Kayam, that is going to be the binding Eruv, Kedei lechanchon b'mitzvahs. If we're talking about B'noyu B'tei Akhtanim, the reason why your Eruv takes precedence over their Eruv is because you have a chiyuv to be mechanech them in mitzvahs. And again, you're making the Eruv as part of your chinuch, as part of your chiyuv of chinuch to facilitate them being mekayim a mitzvah. V'loy ma she'hinichu heim Eruvan litzad acher. And the Eruv that they established for themselves in the other direction has no validity whatsoever. Okay, continues the Mechaber. Second line down near the end of the line. Avo b'noyu b'tei hagdolim. But how about if you have adult children? For your adult son or your adult daughter, afilu smuchem al shulchanai, even if they are completely dependent on the financial support of their father, v'avda v'shivcha say ha'ivrim, or if you have an Eved Ivri or a Shivcha Ivriya, v'ishtai, or your wife, einoy ma'arev alehem elo midaitam. You cannot make an Erev for them without their knowledge. You want to make an Erev for your adult son. You want to make an Erev for your adult daughter. You want to make an Erev for your wife. You could make an Erev for them, but you need their das. Again, they're independent people, and this is not a case of zachid la'adam shaloi b'fanav. It's possibly chavin la'adam shaloi b'fanav, which you're not allowed to do. And therefore, yes, you could establish an Eruvit Chumin for them, but you're going to need to have their das, says the Bechar B'Vayter. V'im Erev aleihem. Now, let's say you go ahead and you set up an Eruvit Chumin for your adult son, for your adult daughter, for your wife, and you didn't ask them first. So you just went ahead and did it. Then you came home and you said, oh, guys, guess what? Remember we were talking about going to this shir or to this shmooze tomorrow afternoon? I realized that we're going to need an Eruvit Chumin to be able to reach that place. So I took the liberty and I went ahead and I set up a Eruvit Chumin for all of us. Vishamu, and now they received the news. So your adult son, your adult daughter, your wife, they received the news that you went ahead and you set up an Eruvit Chumin on their behalf. So they didn't know before you did it, but now they heard that you did it. Vishosku, and they're quiet. They accept the news and they don't react. They don't comment. V'loy michu, and they certainly did not protest. Yoitzim be'eruvoy. They could now ahead go out and they could use that Eruv that you set up. So again, you set up the Eruv without their das, but they heard about it and they didn't protest. Now, we're going to see the Mishnah Berurah over here. That's going to tell us a fascinating Kiddush. But let's do the math and let's break this down a little bit before we go ahead and look at the Mishnah Berurah. When we look at this case and we say to ourselves, okay, the father, the husband, went ahead and set up an Eruvit Chumin on behalf of his wife, on behalf of his adult children, without their das. So let's visualize the case. 10 o'clock Friday morning, the husband, father, goes ahead 2,000 amos to the east of the city, and he sets up an Eruvit Chumin for himself, an Eruvit Chumin for his wife, an Eruvit Chumin for his adult son, and an Eruvit Chumin for his adult daughter. He never discussed it with them. Comes home. He's home at 11 o'clock. Okay, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Shabbos, he tells his wife, he tells his children, by the way, I set up a Ruvei Truman for us 2,000 amos to the east of the city. They receive the news and they don't object. Says the Mechaber, that's fine. The Ruvei Truman will go into effect and the family could all use the Ruvei Truman. Is that a massive chiddush? Doesn't really seem to be a massive chiddush. Why? Because let's remember, when is that Erev going to go into effect halachically? It's going to go into effect by Ben Hashmashas. Now, we're doing this and we're having this discussion 5 hours before Ben Hashmashas. So by the time Ben Hashmashas comes around, they know about the Erev and they didn't object to the Erev. So, okay, that sounds really like you made the Erev midaitam. Now, it's true that when you put down the Erev wherever you put it, you didn't have their das. But the Erev didn't go into effect. They're not kind of shvisa when you put the Mazin Shtei Seudais down. They're not going to be kind of shvisa at the Mokom of the Erev until Ben Hashmashas. And by the time Ben Hashmashas rolls around, they do know about it. So it is midaitam. So it doesn't sound like there's a massive chiddush over there. But now let's try to go to a more mechudish tikka case. Let's imagine that you don't have this discussion at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday afternoon. Let's say the husband slash father sets up the air of 10 o'clock Friday morning, but he doesn't have the discussion with his wife and with his adult children until Friday night after the Suda. So now they didn't know about the Erev by Ben Hashmashas. Now, the truth is, we touched upon this concept earlier. Earlier, we spoke about making an Erev on behalf of somebody and employing Brera to say that Lemafreya, retroactively, we understand that it was the das of the person to be kind of shvisa at the makom of the Erev. But we said there that you could only employ Brera if the person knew about the Erev from before Shabbos. So for instance, if a person knew about, he knew that you set up an Erev for him before Ben Hashmashas, but he wasn't sure where he wanted to be kind of Shvisa, right? He said, I'll make up my mind. Oh, you set up an Erev for me to the Mizrach that will allow me to go to the Daf Yomi Shir tomorrow afternoon? Well, thank you so much for letting me know that you did that for me. I'm not sure if I want it. It could be that tomorrow afternoon I want to go to the Daf Yomi Shir, or my wife said something about taking the Eneklach to the park that's to the west of the city. And if I take advantage of the Erev that you set up for me to the Mizrach, I'm not going to be able to go to the park to the Ma'ariv. So I have to talk to my wife tonight after the Suda and decide what I want to do. Okay, tonight after the Suda, the husband sits down with his wife. They make the decision. No, Avada, you have an opportunity to go to Gavaldik Daf Yomi Shir. Go to the Daf Yomi Shir. I'll take the Eneklach to the park myself. So then we say, Igloi Milsa Lamafreya. We employ Brera to say that retroactively we understand that he was kind of shvisa on Erev Shabbos by the Mokum Erev, even though he didn't make up his mind before Ben Hashmashas. He didn't make up his mind until after the onset of Shabbos, but he knew about the Erev. So already from Erev Shabbos before Ben Hashmashas, he had in his mind the idea, either I'm being kind of shvisa over here, or I'm being kind of shvisa over there. When that doubt is clarified, and he makes the decision Friday night that he's going to the Daf Yomi Shir, so we look at it that retroactively on Erev Shabbos, he was kind of shvisa to the Mizrach to allow him to go to the Daf Yomi Shir. But we said over there that if he doesn't even know about the Erev until after Shabbos began, if the person who made the Erev to the Mizrach on his behalf doesn't let him know until after Ma'ariv Friday night in Shul, then we cannot use Brera and say, oh, Lemafreya, he was kind of shvisa at the Makom Erev. Why? Because he didn't even know about it. How could you say, you want to go Lemafreya? You want to go retroactive to Ben Hashmashas? Fine, let's go retroactive to Ben Hashmashas. Retroactive to Ben Hashmashas, did he know that there was an Erev? He didn't even know about the existence of the Erev. So how could you employ Brera to say, oh, Igloi Milsa Lemafreya, that he was kind of shvisa before Ben Hashmashas at the Makom Erev? Can't do that. He has to know about it before Ben Hashmashas. So what would be over here in Simen Tuf Yud Dalet if the husband slash father went ahead, made the Erev 10 o'clock in the morning, Erev Shabbos, didn't bother telling his wife and children about it until Friday night after the Suda? Could they now use that Erev? That sounds like a very difficult thing to say, because what do you mean? At Banish Moshes, they didn't even know that there was an Erev. So how could they take advantage of that Erev? Well, against that backdrop, let's take a look here at Mishnah Berurah's Katan Dalet. So again, the Mechaber said, the husband slash father went ahead, made the Erev without their knowledge, told them about it, they received the news, they accepted it, and they didn't protest. The Mechaber said they could use the Erev. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's a little bit of a difficulty, it's a very interestingly phrased Mishnah Berurah. The truth is that I am recording this shiur on Sunday, and I really had this shiur prepared already from Erev Shabbos, and I would have liked to say the shiur on Erev Shabbos, but this Mishnah Berurah, Ayis Katan Dalet, held me back from saying shiur on Erev Shabbos. I had to think about it over Shabbos and go over it again over Shabbos, and therefore I didn't record the shiur until this morning. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ayis Katan Dalet, the Mistama Nisratza Ha'eved V'Hashivcha Liad Adoinehem, when an Eved or a Shifcha, an Eved Kenani, or an Eved Ivri or a Shifcha Ivria, when they hear about an Erev, there is a default position that they are willing to do whatever their master set up for them. Because remember, the Eved Ivri, the Shifcha Kenanis, they're obligated to be able to serve their Adoin. So they have to be able to be wherever their Adoin is. So there's a stamus, there's a default assumption that they are going to be nisratza, they're going to be willing and agreeable to whatever the Adoin did. V'chein, and similarly, habanim la'avien. Similarly, children, banim over here doesn't mean exclusively sons. Similarly, children to a father. There is a default assumption that children are going to be agreeable to whatever their father chose to do on their behalf. Veha isha l'das baila. And there's also this kind of default assumption. Wow, say this in 2026. There's a default assumption that the wife is going to be agreeable to whatever her husband decided to do when it comes to the Eruv Bitumen. Whatever he decided to do on her behalf, there's a default assumption that the isha is going to be agreeable to it. In the eternal words of Chazal, because the words of Chazal are eternal, Isha Kshera, also Ritzayim Baila. An Isha Kshela does the desires of her husband. Of course, you have to know what that means. I'm not making this kind of like blanket statement, but whatever it is, I'm using Divrei Chazal, Isha Kshera, also Ritzayim Baila. So the default assumption is she and the Ish has to be an Ish Kosher. There's an Isha Kshera that's married to an Ish Kosher. There's a default position that Isha Kshera also Ritzayim Baila. So we're starting off over here with a default position. This is not a regular case of a Reuven setting up an Eruv Tchumen on behalf of his neighbor Shimon. When Reuven sets up an Eruv Tchumen on behalf of his neighbor Shimon, there is no default position and default assumption that Shimon is Nisratza to whatever Reuven does on his behalf. Reuven is a very friendly guy, and Reuven decides, hey, maybe Shimon wants to join me and come with me to the Daf Yomi Shir. But there is no default assumption that Shimon is Nisratza to whatever Reuven did on his behalf. But over here, when we're talking about Ishtoi, Benoi Ubitoi Hagdoilim, Eved Ivri, Shivcha Ivriya, over here, there is a default assumption that they are agreeable to whatever the husband, the father, the Adoin did on their behalf. The mistama nisratza eved v'ashivcha liad adoneim v'chein abanim la'avien v'aisha l'das baila. That's why, in these cases, you could set up an Eruv Tchumen without their knowledge. And if they receive the news and they hear about it, and they hear that you did it, and they listen, and they do not object, that is enough to say that the Erev will take effect. Because you're starting with a default assumption that they're agreeable, and then when they heard about it, they didn't object, which is another raya that they're agreeable. Okay, so they're agreeable. So again, if this all happens on Friday afternoon before Ben Hashmoshes, so this is not a very big stretch, right? This is not a very big ask. We understand that this is good. Again, default assumption that they're agreeable to whatever you do on their behalf. And they heard the news and they didn't object. And we're talking about before Ben Ishmashas and the Erev didn't go into effect yet. It's okay, right? This sounds very good. Now, says the Mishnah Berura, and he's saying this in the name of the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef took it from a Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh. You see that in the Shaar HaTzion, says the Mishnah Berura, Va'afilu loy hidiya min ha'erev ad shetekshach. But you should know that this halacha is true, even if the husband slash father slash adon didn't inform wife, children, eved, shivcha, until after the outset of Shabbos, until past Ben Hashmashas, when the Erev already had to go into effect. So they didn't even know about it by Ben Hashmashas. Still, it's going to be a good Erev, and they could use the Erev. Gam Kein Mahani, it's still going to work. Says the Mishnah Berura, after Zman Kinyas Erev Hu Ben Hashmashas, even though, like, wait a second, the Zman Kinyas Erev is by Ben Hashmashas, and they didn't know about it during Ben Hashmashas. And now pause here for a second and take a look at Shaar HaTzion Ois Katan Beis. So the Chofetz Chaim says, yes, I'm telling you this massive Chiddush, Beis Yosef, B'Shem Rashba, in the Avodas HaKodesh, V'hu V'gam Kein Bel Yerabba, and Yel Yerabba brings down this Avodas HaKodesh as well, Uritzayin Oilaymar, and the point of this is, the big Chiddush of this is, D'Avta Ba'alma Im Erev B'Shvil Eza Adam, even though we have always said that if you make an Erev on behalf of somebody else, Tzarech Lohi Diyay Dakka Koidim Shetach Shach, the person must know about it before the onset of Shabbos, the Chanal B'Sim and Tafiyu Gimel Sef Aleph, because otherwise you can't employ Brera, Hacha Mahani, over here, by wife, adult children, Eved Ivri, Shivcha Kenanis, it works even though they weren't aware of it before the outset of Shabbos. Why? So finally comes the Mishnah Berurah with the punchline at the end of Ois Katan Dalet, and he says, Mishum de Mistama Oimed Erev Lehiskayim, because the stamus, the default position, the default assumption, allows this Erev to take effect. De Mistama Oimed Erev Lehiskayim. Mistama, based on the default assumption that they are agreeable to whatever you do on their behalf, Oimed Erev Lehiskayim. That gives the Erev the power and the ability to take effect. Yes, normally we can't say Brera, because like I explained, you're dealing with Reuben and Shimon, there is no default assumption that Shimon has any interest in what you did on his behalf. But by wife, adult children, Eved Ivri, Shivka Kenanis, we're starting from a position where there is already a default assumption that you have the authority to act on their behalf, and they're agreeable to what you did. And therefore, even though they didn't know about it before the onset of Shabbos, you're coming with a power that you have based on that stamos, based on that default assumption and default position, ukemoy shekasavnu. And what I mean is what I wrote to you at the beginning of Ois Katan Dalet. The mistama nisratzo eved v'ashivchi le'ada dineim v'chein abonim la'avien v'ishel l'das bailo v'loy lehispatel. And the stamus, the default position, is that the Erev should take effect and not that it should be considered null and void. By Reuven and Shimon, the default position would be that the Erev that you make on his behalf is null and void. Remember, making an Erev for somebody is not a case of zaken la'adam shaloi b'fanav. It's possibly a case of chavin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. So you made an Erev on behalf of Shimon. We're starting from a starting point of you don't have the ability to make an Erev for somebody else shaloi midaitan. So the stamus of that Erev would be that it's oimed lehispatel. If you want that Erev to be okay, you need to come up with a lumdus. You need to have a halachic kunz. You need to have a pathway that allows that Erev to be okay. So what would the pathway be? Okay, he found out about it before Ben Hashmashas, Brera. Okay, fine. We have a pathway to make the Erev okay. But you need that pathway because the stamus would be that this Erev is oimed lehispatel. But not over here. Over here, by wife, adult children, Eved Ivri, Shivcha Kenanis, Mistama, the default assumption is that the Erev is oimed lehiskayim. because we assume that they're okay with what you're doing. So it's the default is that the Erev is Oymed Lehiskayim, not that the Erev is Oymed Lehisbatel. Okay, now we have to go weiter in the Mechaber. So we're three lines off the end of the Simen, right by the Mishnah Berurah, by the ice cut and hay for the Mishnah Berurah. Now, this is all assuming that you made the Erev, they heard about it, and they didn't object. Aval, however, says the Mechaber, if you made an Erev for your wife, for your adult children, for your Eved, for your Shivcha Knanis, and they objected, Aval, however, if they went ahead and they objected to your Erev, or not only did they perhaps verbally object, they went ahead and they made up their own Erev in the other direction. Then the Erev that you set up is not going to be effective for them because they don't want it and they're independent people and they don't want what you did. So then what you did is null and void, says the Mishnah, is cut in hay. What the Mechaber means to say is, miyad sheshamu. When we say that if they objected, your Erev is not binding, that's only if they objected right when they heard about it. La fuke, this stands in contrast to sheshasku, if they were quiet and they received the news quietly and they didn't object, va'achakach michu, and then later on they objected. Loi mahani mecha asam, in that case, their objection doesn't hold any water. Their objection is not valid. Why? Because when they received the news and they were quiet about it, heavy kaida. We look at that shtika, we look at their silence and lack of objection as agreement. So if you told them about the Erev and they didn't object, and it's only later on that they objected, well, it's too late. They already received the news and they signaled their agreement to the Erev by being quiet. That put the Erev into effect. Now, right away, says the Mishnah Berurah, this that I'm telling you, what I mean by that is that, again, this is the case where you didn't tell them about the Erev until after the onset of Shabbos. So if you didn't tell them about the Erev until the onset of Shabbos, so after the Suda Friday night, you told them, oh, guys, guess what? I made an Erev 2,000 amos to the east of the city. Okay, everybody accepted the news, no problem. Shabbos afternoon, one of them turns around and says, Daddy, I don't want the Erev that you made to me to the Mizrach. Too late. Avalim Shabu Matzah. Why? Why is it too late? The reason it's too late is because they heard about it after the Zman Kinyasa Erev. They heard about it after the Zman of the Erev going into effect, and they accepted it. So right then and there, the Erev went into effect on their behalf. Now they object to it later. Sorry, Charlie, it's too late. Right? What's the saying? Dime short, penny short, dime late? I don't know, whatever the saying is. It's too late. You missed the boat. V'chol zedavka kisheshamu mishkashecha v'shasku. Avalim shamu batzar royim. But if you told them about the Erev at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, 2 hours before Ben Hashmashas, v'shasku, and they were quiet, but umichu kainim chashecha, but they objected before Ben Hashmashas, nispat le'erev, then their objection is going to be valid. In other words, their silence at 2 o'clock in the afternoon doesn't put the Erev into effect because it's not yet the Zman Kinyasa Erev. So if they were silent at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but at 4:30 in the afternoon, they said, Tati, I don't want the Erev. So then by the time Ben Hashmashas comes along at 8 o'clock, the Erev is not going to go into effect because they already objected before the Zman Kinyasa Erev. Avalim Shamu Batzarai Vishasku Michu Kaidu Kashaykh is part of the Erev. Because they already objected prior to Bein Hashmashos. So if they objected, or they didn't object, but they set up an Erev, let's say, in the other direction. Even if they set up their Erev after the husband, father, Adoin, set up his Erev, doesn't matter. Because since they went ahead and they set up their own Erev somewhere else, there's no bigger objection to the Erev than setting up a different one. And they'll be able to travel in the direction that their Erev allows them to go, and the husband, father, Adoin's Erev is not going to be valid. Okay, Sif Beis, says the Mechaber. Katan ben sheish shanim oy pachis. So we spoke in Sif Aleph about Benoi Ubitoi Aktanim. By Benoi Ubitoi Aktanim, we said that the father has the ability to set up an Erev without their das. By Benoi Ubitoi Gdolim, we said that they get that he cannot. Now we're going to parse a little bit what the halacha is by Ketanim. Says the Mechaber, Katan ben Sheish Shadim Aipachos, if we're talking about a minor child who's less than 6 years old, Yoitze Be'erev Imoy, that person, that child, is going to be covered by the Erev of his mother. What does that mean, says the Mechaber? Ve'ed Tzarech Lahaniach Alav Mazayin Shtei Su'udais La'atzmai. We know if you're setting up an Erev for you and your 10-year-old son so you could go to a shir together on Shabbos afternoon, you need Mazit Shtei Sudas for you, you need Mazit Shtei Sudas for him. If you're setting up an Erev for a 4-year-old, you don't need Mazit Shtei Sudas for the 4-year-old. But you know what you do need? If you want to extend the Tchum of a 4-year-old, you need to extend the Tchum of his mother. And you need to have Mazit Shtei Sudas for his mother. The mazon shtei sudas of the mother is going to cover the child. Why? Because the 4-year-old and the mommy, they're one. They're guf echad. The 4-year-old is tzarech le'imai. The 4-year-old is bound to his mother. He needs his mother. So he's considered as one with his mother. Mommy has an Erev, 4-year-old has an Erev. Mommy doesn't have an Erev, 4-year-old doesn't have an Erev. You're making an Erev for mommy and for the 4-year-old. You don't need Mazit Shtei Sudas for the 4-year-old because the 4-year-old equals mommy. You need Mazit Shtei Sudas for mommy. 4-year-old is covered with Mazit Shtei Sudas of mommy. Says the Mishnah Berurah Katan Zayin. Ben Shei Shanim. Aval. Im Nichnas B'Sad Sheva Afilu Yom Echad. If this child is already into his 7th year, even if he's only one day into his 7th year, Sarech La'arev Alav B'Fdei Atzmai. You need to make him his own Erev. He needs his own Mazit Shtei Sudas. Veina Yoitze Loi Be'erev Imoi V'Loi Be'erev Aviv. He's not going to be covered by the Mazit Shtei Sudas, not of his mother, not of his father. So up until 6, covered with the Mazit Shtei Sudas of mommy. Beyond 6, even one day, well, then he's not covered by Mazit Shtei Sudas of mommy or of daddy. Vine HaShulchan Aruch Sasa Bazem, when the Shulchan Aruch rules like this, he's ruling Ka Paiskim according to the Paiskim that say, the Ad Ben Shisha Vishisha Bechlal Yoitze Be'erev Imoy, that a 6-year-old, including his entire 6th year, is covered with the Erev of his mommy. Be'ein Chilik Im Aviv Be'er Oiloy. And it has nothing to do whether daddy is around at home or daddy is not in the city. It doesn't matter. This child is covered with the Erev of mommy. Amnam, however, Be'el Yerabba Mitzadeh, the El Yerabba takes the position, Kedas Kama Paiskim, he follows many Paiskim, Deim Aviv Be'er, that if Tati is home, if Tati's in the city, Afilu Ben Arba Shanim Ben Chamei Shanim, even a child who's 4 or 5 years old, Ben Echarif Kokach, and he's not that sharp, Eina Yoitze Be'er Vimoy, is not covered with his mommy's Erev. Mishum Da'oz Eina Nimsha Kokach Acharimoy, because the whole Svara, that the minor child under 6 is covered with mommy's Erev, is like I said, the 6-year-old is considered as one with mommy. That a child that age is considered bound up with his mommy. So he's covered by mommy. He's tied to mommy. But the Elia Rabbah goes with the Paiskim who says, not so fast. That's if daddy's not around. But if daddy's not around, it's true that the child might be a mommy boy or a mommy girl. But if Tati is around, if daddy is around, then that softens it a little bit. He's not necessarily so bound up with mommy that he should be covered with mommy's Erev. So these Paiskim that say, no, if the daddy is around, then Eina Nimshach Kokach Acharimoy, he's not so completely bound up with his mother. And therefore, he's not covered with his mommy's Mazit Shtei Sudas. He's certainly not covered with his daddy's Mazit Shtei Sudas, because that we never find. We never find the concept that you're covered by daddy's Mazit Shtei Sudas. We only find the concept of being covered by mommy's Mazit Shtei Sudas. So the Mechaber is ruling like the Paiskim, child that young, covered by mommy. The El Yerabba is going with the Paiskim that say, not so fast. That depends if Tati is around or not. If daddy's not around, then he's not covered by mommy. He's not covered by daddy, for sure now. You could only cover a child that age if you give him his own Mazit Shtei Sudas. How are you going to give a four-year-old his own mazon shteis v'dais? You're going to hand off the food to somebody else and ask him to be mezaken it on behalf of the four-year-old. Oiskan ches be'erev imai, a child that young is covered with his mommies. Erev da'ad oisa esu karak acharev v'chaguf adamya. Again, this is one of these cases where you would have liked to see this phrase earlier, not later. Da'ad oisa esu karak acharev v'chaguf adamya. I'm not questioning Chavetz Chaim. Chas v'chalilam. Yeah, so until such an age, this child is considered bound up with his mommy. Now, Mishnah Berurah makes a beautiful point. Wait a second. I thought you could only make an Iruvei Tchumen for a Dvar Mitzvah. A four-year-old, there isn't even a Chiv of Chinuch. So how is there a concept of a Dvar Mitzvah for a four-year-old? You're not making an Erev for him to facilitate his kiyum of a mitzvah. Let's make it even more dramatic. Let's make it a two-year-old. What? There's some kind of inyan of chinuch of mitzvahs? So how are you making it a ruvei tchumen for such a child? Nevertheless, kem delayef shaloi b'layimai. Yeah, but since such a child is totally bound up with his mommy, ef shaloi b'layimai, he has to be with mommy, yoytze ima. You're making it a ruvei tchumen for mommy, so that mommy, to facilitate a mitzvah for mommy. Mommy's going to the woman's share. So that's what's allowing you to make the Iruvei Tumen. Once you're making the Iruvei Tumen for a Dvar Mitzvah for mommy, that's going to cover the child. Yoytze ima. V'im loy erva imay ela aviv. And let's say you're not making it a Iruvei Tumen for the mommy at all. Let's say only the daddy is having it a Iruvei Tumen. Ein the yoytze be'eruvai. Certainly, this child cannot be yoytze with the erva of the father. Menira Liad, it seems to me, says the Mishnah Berurah, the afik zikalav aviv, gamken loy mahani. If you're not making it a ruvei tchumen for mommy, and now you somehow want to be able to make it a ruvei tchumen for the child. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to make it a ruvei tchumen for the child. Says the Chavetz Chaim, you're not going to be able to do it. Because a child that age has to be with mommy. Menira Liad, afik zikalav aviv, gamken loy mahani. Da'ad oysa is tzavta di'imay nichale v'hi aloy loy erva lusham. Again, a child that age is bound to mommy. So you can't go uproot him from mommy by trying to make an Erev for him on his own. And it's not going to work. Okay, that brings us to the conclusion of Taf Yud Daled. Mirtz Hashem, next time we will begin with Simon Taf Tes Vav. 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 shiurim left to the conclusion of Hilchas Shabbos. Thank you to all my listeners again. We should be zayich to see the B.S. Gal Tzedek, B'Herev Yomeinu, Amen. Everybody have a great day. Be well.